engagements in and around Gainesville, all about. One of his favorite places is Union Grove Old Time Fiddlers Conventions. Ed Partridge is... Oh, now you don't mean it. What happened? Oh, my. Ed's playing in a nightclub in Gainesville. Isn't he ashamed of himself? Well, we're glad you're here, Don.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma. I am not a native Florida cracker. I'm born and raised in the hills above Cherokee, North Carolina. A little while back, there you go. A while back, though, I got a phone call from a land developer up there who wanted to sell me a quarter-acre home site. I have, in deference to Cousin Thelma, cleaned up the version a little bit. I would like to do you a song I wrote entitled The Hills of Carolina. I got a long-distance call from Carolina. Said there's big things happening in the hills. They're developing old Lookout Mountain just so I can get away from city ills. Wouldn't I like to invest in the future? Wouldn't I really like to settle down in a rustic cottage in the mountains, far from the confusions of a town? Well, they are selling quarter-acre home sites. Nothing down, no payment for a year. And if I want the deluxe plan, I just send them 15 grand. Then I can be a full-fledged mountaineer. And I says, get your greedy butt out of my mountains. Go back to Miami or to hell. Cause you're screwing up the hills of Carolina, the ones that I have known and loved so well. He says, does that mean you don't want in the project? Could you recommend uncles or some aunts? I says, if I could have it done, my friend, I'd call the Pentagon and have them drop an A-bomb in your pants. And then you'd never be able to have children. You'd be impotent and sterile. And if I could, I would. I'd get rid of you for good. But the punishment would be just too darn mild. He says, now wouldn't you like to think it over? Then perhaps you'd sign on the dotted line. Then he had the gall to ask me to pay for the call while he rapes the hills of Carolina. I says, get your greedy hands off of my mountains. Go back to the animal shelter you came from. Cause you're making of the hills of Carolina what the hills of California have become. He says, now wouldn't you like to think it over? Then perhaps you'd sign on the dotted line. Then he had the gall to ask me to pay for the call while he rapes the hills of Caroline. While he rapes the hills of Caroline. Thank you. You may be wet, but you're enthusiastic. And it's the first time I've ever gotten a 21-gun salute while I was singing. One of the things that folk singers do is to take obscure incidents in history and make sure nobody truly ever forgets them. Now, usually you wait until the participants are dead. However, there was an incident in Live Oak over here just a few miles from White Springs in 1953 that fascinated me. A black woman by the name of Ruby McCollum walked into a doctor's office one morning. He was the Democratic candidate for governor of Florida, and she shot him dead. Now, that court case was a very big one here in Florida, and there are people around here now who remember it and are still a little bit upset by it. Now, I am not concerned about the court case itself, but Ruby McCollum's husband ran the numbers in North Florida, and 24, he was in perfect health. And 24 hours after Ruby shot the doctor, he willed himself to die. He was called Bolita Sam, and I wrote this song about him. Well, the man that ran the numbers in North Florida till 53 was a gray-eyed black man named McCullum and his pretty wife, Ruby. But Ruby had a problem, claimed she also had a kid by a white doctor in Live Oak who would like to keep it hid. Bolita Sam, that gambling man, he couldn't handle what was going down. He played his final numbers, but nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Bolita Sam. Then one Sunday morning, Ruby said she couldn't take it no more. She walked up to the, she killed Dr. Leroy Adams, left him lying on the floor. Sam knew when they came for Ruby, they'd get him if they could. So he filled a suitcase with money and left Live Oak for good. Bolita Sam, that gambling man, he couldn't handle what was going down. He played his final number, but nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Bolita Sam. Sam went home to Ocala. Ruby went to jail. Charged with first-degree murder, they wouldn't let her out on bail. But Sam never knew about it, never knew if she went insane. 'Cause Sam went home to Ocala and he played his final game. Bolita Sam, that gambling man, he couldn't handle what was going down. He played his final numbers, but nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Bolita Sam. Now nobody knows what happened or how it came to be. 'Cause Sam went to the graveyard, Ruby went to Chattahoochee. Sam did not use a pistol, and here's the reason why. Said when there ain't nothing else to do, you gotta lay down and die. Bolita Sam, that gambling man, he couldn't handle what was going down. He played his final numbers, and nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Bolita Sam. So much for Bolita Sam. Near Gainesville, there is a huge prairie, used to be called the Florida Savannah. It's bounded by Noonan's Lake. I have taken 400 years of history and put it into this one song called Vita Chuco, because the Indians owned all that land before the Spaniards came. And they came to the prairie, searching for gold, demanding what did not exist. When Chief Vita Chuco explained there was none, De Soto put irons on his wrists. Then Chief Vita Chuco had a great feast. He told tales across the campfire about the vast riches beyond the Suwannee. Told the Spaniards to search over there. Then the Indian knives met the big Spanish swords and were broken in the battle that night. Chief Vita Chuco slashed De Soto's face, but he lost his own life in the fight. When De Soto recovered, his rage was still high. He said, bring all those Indians to me. Then he slaughtered 1,200, laughed as they died. Then he marched on across the Suwannee. So the Indians waited, then they came back again to the prairie and they hoped to remain. But the white men still wanted that lush prairie land. And they fought the new leader, King Payne. Colonel Dan Noonan brought troops to a lake. King Payne brought his warriors there too. He routed the soldiers, but he lost his own life. As Indians usually do. For the soldiers came back as they always return. Drove the Indians off of their land. Fired 400 villages, watched them all burn. Ended the struggle, Vita Chuco began. Now there are no more Indians in North Florida. There's no more land for the white man to take. There's only a prairie named for King Payne. And for Colonel Dan Noonan, a lake. 400 years have gone by since that night. Vita Chuco slashed De Soto's face. Now white men are living on King Payne's prairie. They're sailboating on Dan Noonan's lake. Thank you very much. In 1879, in a court case entitled Chief Standing Bear versus General George Crook and the American federal government, they ruled for the first time that an Indian is a human being. His name was Chief Standing Bear, and I'd like to close out with that, if I may. It's called Congratulations, Standing Bear. I don't play adult summer, but I work at it. Congratulations, Standing Bear. Today you are a man. Yesterday you were a heathen savage living off the land. Now the courts have changed the color of the red skin you have worn. And at last you are a free man in the land where you were born. In the heat of Oklahoma, where the white men set him down, Standing Bear was sadly watching his last son die on the ground. Father, please, the boy cried weakly, when my final hour has come, please don't let my bones be buried neath this Oklahoma sun. Take me home to the Dakotas, where my mother gave me birth. Let my body lie forever in the breast of Mother Earth. So they left the reservation, headed north to Omaha, and that's where they were arrested, for it was against the law. Filed a writ of habeas corpus saying, set these people free. But the white says, these ain't people, they're just Indians, can't you see? Then into the federal courtroom in front of Judge Dundee, where he said, of course they're people, and you've got to set them free. Congratulations, Standing Bear, today you are a man. Yesterday you were a heathen savage living off the land. Now the courts have changed the color of the red skin you have worn. And at last you are a free man in the land where you were born. Then they loaded up the body, headed for the burial ground. But the soldiers stopped them, said, turn this thing around. You're no longer an Indian. The courts made you a man. And you cannot bury your garbage on this sacred Indian land. Congratulations, Standing Bear. Today you are a man. Yesterday you were a heathen savage living off the land. Although the courts have changed the color of the red skin you have worn, you will never be a free man in the land where you were born. No, you'll never be a free man in the land where you were born. Thank you very much.
See, I tell you, Now we're going to take a little time to sweep again for the dancers. And I think we're going to have to move this stand, boys. All right, boys, that's fine, I think. It's leaking back here. Our English country dancers are from the School of Organic Education, Fairhope, Alabama. And I'll turn it over to the chairman, whose name I do not know.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma. My name is Paul Arnold, and the lady that just walked across over there underneath the plastic, I hope that she can hear me. That's Barbara Arnold with our music, and bear with us, please. Now, a couple of the dances that we'll be doing this evening won't look quite as spectacular as they normally would. We're a little afraid of the water, but we're going to want to try and do our best for you. These dancers want to dance, and we're going to give you the best trial we've got. Are we ready? All right. Our first dance is called the Oxen Dance, like animal oxen. Now, this is one of the rowdiest of the Morris dances. Now, this was used many times in the past as an initiation dance for college students, the Oxen Dance.
Thank you. few verses of one that managed to come to get to this country. It's a ballad called Mary Hamilton, and I think it's one of the prettiest ballad tunes I know. This version is one that I heard Jeannie Robertson do, a Scottish singer. This instrument is called the psaltery, and I first heard Bob Beers play it at this festival, and I always like to do at least one song that I had heard him do, and this is a song that I think is good for this year because it's an early American tune, a colonial tune, called Green Fields of America.
Thank you.
Reno made this instrument, and Mike has a booth set up upon the hill there. Maybe you could talk to him tomorrow if you like the sound of the psaltery. I'd like to do another song that was collected by Cecil Sharp in Madison County, North Carolina. And this is an Appalachian tune for Black is the Color. And I have it on a, put it on a folk legacy record. I really like to find that there's not just one tune to a song. And I think we've sort of gotten locked into a John Jacob Niles tune for that.
But satisfied, I never could sleep.